Nehemiah chapter 8. We'll read verse 1 through 6 as we did last week, taking our thought mostly from verse number 6. Nehemiah 8, verse 1, "And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Urijah, Hilkiah, and Maaseiah on his right hand, and his left hand Padiah, and Mishael, Micaiah, Hashem, Hashbanana, not to be confused with banana, and Zechariah and Mishalem. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads. They worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Last week, we preached on respecting the Word, respecting the Word. And the people of Israel that were in the land, regathering in the land, showed their respect for God's word by their attitude in verse number 1, their attendance, as explained in verse number 2, their attentiveness, as is seen in verse number 3, and their awe concerning the word of God in verse number 5. This morning we want to preach on the subject we've entitled Worshiping the Word. Worshiping the Word. We've been hearing a lot about seeing God and how seeing God affects us. We've heard messages recently about seeing Christ and the impact of seeing Christ clearly should have upon our life. We were speaking after services, I think it was last Sunday. I think it was Brother Derek. We were standing in awe of that thought, seeing God. What a statement it is. The Bible tells us in 1 John 4, verse 12, that no man has seen God at any time. And that's in his complete glorified state as a spirit. But that same Bible that tells us no man has seen God tells us that we see God in His Word. We see God in His Word. So it can be said that no man has seen God, but at the same time it can be said many of us have seen God, have seen our Lord. Question is, what impact does that have upon our life? And I think I should expand that thought just a little bit. What continued effect does that have upon our life? Sure, when you first saw him, sure, when you first came to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, it had an effect upon your life and a visible evidence. But is that physical evidence still there today? What effect has seeing God and seeing Jesus Christ had upon you as far as staying power is concerned? No man has seen God at any time, and yet we have seen God in His Word, and we see God in His Word. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 16, speaking about the omnipotence of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as I believe seems to be the case of His glorified state. 1 Timothy 6:16 tells us no one has seen Christ. And yet we have seen Christ as we've been looking in the book of Revelation. We are seeing Christ in our continuing through study of the book of Revelation. No man has seen God, and yet we see God in His Word. No man, it is said, has seen Christ, and yet Christ is the Word. So yes, we have seen God in His Word, and yes, we have seen Christ in His Word. The Bible tells us here in this passage of Scripture that Ezra blessed the Lord in verse number 6. The great God and all the people answered, "Amen, amen," with lifting up his hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. How we handle the Word of God determines how God is revealed to us. How we handle the Word of God reveals God unto us, and ultimately we are blessed by seeing God, by seeing our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We see a building up here in this passage of Scripture to their respecting the Word of God and their handling the Word of God, and it climaxing in their having a revelation of God and seeing God. And ultimately, in verse number 6, their worship of God. Their worship of God. Having the Word of God be central to everything we do. Having the Word of God be that which we measure everything by determines how God is revealed to us, how we see Him, and whether or not we are ultimately blessed. We've considered respecting the Word today. Worship the Word, because it is God's Word. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, speaking of Christ. So we can worship the Word, because it's God's Word, and because it is ultimately the revealing, the getting a glimpse of Jesus Christ. I've spent some time this week in the building, and I've spent some time looking at things. And since Wednesday night, the communion table was out of the sanctuary. The pulpit was gone and removed. And I looked at the platform. and a sadness came over me. Because the most important part of this sanctuary, the most important part of our coming together, is our hearing the Word of God. I thought, how contemporary. The platform looked like many of the platforms that I see on television in the public ministries that are out there and available. No pulpit, no communion table, just a platform. And I thought, well, I could get dressed up like a biker dude. Maybe even get a couple tattoos. Get a bar stool. Have the bar stool up here close by. Maybe use that bar stool for where I put the Bible. Where I put the Word of God. I was reminded of this passage of Scripture. Ezra the scribe stood upon the pulpit of wood which they had made for the purpose. He stood upon the pulpit. And the pulpit had been made for that purpose. The respect that they showed towards the Word of God was essential to them seeing God, having God revealed unto them. It was essential to their coming to that place of worshiping God. And they had made this tower, this high place, for Ezra to stand upon, where he was just going to read the Word of God. And they made it for that purpose. And because of their respect for the Word, they were able to get a glimpse of God. They were able to come into a better relationship with God. They were able to come into the place where they could worship God. And the same thing is true today. The pulpit cannot be replaced. It cannot be removed, irregardless of who stands in it. It cannot be replaced. It cannot be removed because it is central to our coming together. It has been placed here. It has been built here for this purpose of hearing the Word of God. And people who are in the flesh, as we've been hearing a lot lately, who don't get it, who have nothing but attitude towards the Word of God, will never have a higher revelation of God. Will never come to the climax where they worship God as they did in this passage of Scripture. Because it's the Word of God that is most important to what we do here, why we're gathered here. We're to come into the house of the Lord with the attitude of those who said in the Old Testament, is there any word from the Lord? Is there any message from the Lord? Instead of coming, assuming there will not be one, God's people should gather together looking to see if there's a message from the Lord. Handling the Word of God and how we handle the Word of God and the respect we show towards the Word of God increases our revelation of God. Therefore, as we are given a better glimpse of Him, we are ultimately blessed. Ultimately blessed. In verse number 6, it comes to this, what I call kind of a climax, though the thought of what is beginning here in Nehemiah 8 goes on for a few chapters. Comes to the climax of their hearing the Word of God, showing respect to the Word of God, getting a better revelation of God. It comes to the climax, I believe, and I see in verse number 6, to their worship of God. Their worship of the Word. And it tells us in verse number 6, Ezra blessed the Lord. Ezra blessed the Lord. The word blessed means kneel, adoration, praise, salute. Ezra is speaking towards God in the spirit of one that is kneeling. He is speaking as one who is showing adoration for God. He's speaking as one who is praising God. He's speaking as one who is saluting God. All the attention belongs to Him. All of our thoughts should be drawn towards our great God. And not self, not man, not any individual. Those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And He is seeking true worshipers. In 1 Chronicles, so we contemplate these thoughts in verse number 6. We find similar thoughts coming from the mouth of David and the people's showing similar response. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Verse 34. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation. And gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to Thy holy name and glory in Thy praise. Blessed or blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, Amen. And praise the Lord. David very often blessed and praised the Lord. We see in chapter 29, similarly, First Chronicles 29, verse number 10. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. Verse number 20. And David said to all the congregation, Now bless the Lord your God. And all the congregation blessed the Lord God of their fathers and bowed down their heads and worshiped the Lord and the King. Ezra blessed the Lord. He had the spirit of kneeling, the spirit of adoration for God, the spirit of praise, the spirit of saluting God. And as he blessed and praised the Lord, we'll see in a moment the people said amen and amen. Because respect is being shown to the Word of God, and by their respect being shown to the Word of God, they were getting a better glimpse of God. And by getting a better glimpse of God, they themselves were being blessed in the end and coming to the climax of worshiping this God. How often does that transpire in your life when you come to church? Where just the Word of God is preached, where just the Word of God is opened. And because you're desiring of it and longing of it, you're given a better glimpse of God, closer revelation of God, climaxing in your knowing you worshiped God when you were gathered at His house. Ephesians 1 verse 3, 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 both tell us to bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. And I think in this first reference of blessing the Lord that I see Christ. Speaking of the Son. But he goes on in that sixth verse of Nehemiah chapter 8. After blessing the Lord, there is added, blessed, Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, amen and amen. I think it is believed by most that Nehemiah is the one who adds that phrase, the great God. Ezra blessed the Lord, and the writer of this book, or Nehemiah himself, adds the great God. Ezra blessed the Lord, that, or the great God. The word for God here is Elohim. It's the plural name for God. Speaking of the Godhead, which I think we find in the book of Genesis, when God created the heavens and the earth, it was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It was God as one represented in the Godhead. In Nehemiah chapter 9, Nehemiah chapter 9, I believe the Levites are the ones speaking here and continuing the progression of things from our text passage. Now, the Levites, I believe, are speaking. Verse number 32. Now, therefore, our God, the great, the mighty, and the terrible God, who keepest covenant and mercy, let not all the trouble seem little before thee, that thou hast come upon us, on our kings, on our princes, and on our priests, and on our prophets, and on our fathers, and on all thy people, since the time of the king of Assyria unto this day. Howbeit, thou art just in all that is brought upon us, for thou hast done right. You're just in the way you've punished us, is their proclamation. Thou hast done right, but we have done wickedly. Our God, the great, the mighty, the terrible God, the God who keepeth covenant and mercy. When we respect the Word of God and we consider the Word of God and place the Word of God central to everything we say and do, even our songs and our singing, they should be scriptural songs. They should come resting upon the premise of what the Scriptures teach. When we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, and we hope and pray and desire that our prayers will be pleasing to the Lord, but we must pray according to His Word, according to His will. No man has seen God at any time, and yet we see God in His Word. No man living today has seen Jesus Christ, and yet we see Jesus Christ, which is the Word of God, revealed to us. And how we handle the Word of God and place the emphasis and the importance upon the Word of God determines whether or not a true child of God sees Him, gets a glimpse of Him, has a revelation of Him. And how we handle the Word of God determines the degree that He has revealed unto us, and ultimately the degree of how we're blessed. And it may not be so of an unbeliever, but I believe it is always so of God's people. When God's Word is given the place that it's supposed to have, we will have a greater revelation of Him, be drawn into a closer relationship with Him, and ultimately we will end up in declaring, our God, our great God, our terrible God, our awesome God, our covenant-keeping God, our God of mercy. We come together and the Word of God has its proper place. We are drawn along into a better, fresh revelation of Him. And that always results in our worshiping of Him. I think of those words of the Levites, our God. Is He your God? The great. Is your God the great God? The mighty. Is your God the mighty one? The terrible God. All we can see in the word terrible is a negative, but it's a positive description of God. Amen. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is terrible in a good way, in a good application of that word. And as you look at that sixth verse, as the respect that should be shown to God's Word is shown to God's Word, and God's Word is placed above everything, irregardless of judgment, consequence, or what we might be called upon to give up, change and alter about our life, as respect is shown to God's Word, it leads up to all the people standing up, Ezra blessing God, the great God. And as he blesses God, and as he blesses the great God, Elohim, all the people, if there is any possibility that that could be fulfilled in these last days in which we're living, we ought to long for it. That God's Word might have its proper place, that it is as it is given its proper place, we grow into a better, greater relationship, a better, greater revelation of Him, and just be drawn into the worship of God. Is it possible that all the people in these days and times in which we live, that all the people could show respect towards the Word of God, that all the people could hear the call to praise God and could hear the call of God's name being lifted up and be drawn, that all the people could come to the place in our day and time where they said, Amen, Amen. Amen. truly, truly, or so be it, or it is so. Ezra blessed the Lord. Let me qualify that. He blessed the great God. And all the people said, it is true. He is this God. So be it. He should be this God to us. Or it is so. Now in our beliefs and practices, women can't speak, they can't show authority over a man. They're commanded to be in silence as far as teaching and preaching is concerned. But a woman can, along with a man, praise God, worship God. And when it comes to scripture reading, when it comes to saying amen, when we do that as one voice, I don't believe there's a limitation to anybody, man or woman. When God's word is given its proper place, and we're given a better revelation of Him, more intimate glimpse of Him and His greatness, when He is blessed, when He is praised, everyone has one voice can say amen. Is it possible? That's a different subject altogether. I think of this verse, sixth verse. And it looks like one of the choruses we would sing with our kids. Praise the Lord. Everybody say amen. Everybody stand up. Everybody sit down. Everybody bow down. Everybody raise your head. This is where I believe the people, at the prompting and the blessing of Ezra the scribe concerning the Lord the great God, where all the people get involved in worship is taking place. And all the people said amen. All the people lifted up their hands. Lifted up their hands. And again, when this can be done with one voice, and the congregation collectively can raise up their hands to bless the Lord, worship is taking place. Worship is taking place. 1 Timothy chapter 2, the qualifier is added that men should pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. The psalmist said in chapter 134, I will lift up my hands in the sanctuary. So I think there is significance in that lifting up of the hands being holy hands. They must be clean. The only way they can be holy hands, the only way they can be clean hands is by God's grace. When we're right with Him. And God's people are in the process of getting right with Him. In this portion of Nehemiah. All the people said amen. All the people lifted up their hands, holy hands, in the sanctuary. In the street where the word of God was being read. And all the people bowed their heads. The word bowed carries the meaning to shrivel. To shrivel. to bend, to stoop. Blessed the Lord, blessed be the great God. And all the people said amen, and all the people lifted up their holy hands. While at the same time they shriveled, they bent, they lowered their heads. This is worship, folks. This is worship. Verse number 6 says, all the people said amen. All the people lifted up their hands. All the people bowed their heads. And all the people worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. It looks as though he's got worship out of sequence. Not if you remember what the word worship in this portion of Scripture means or indicates. The word worship means to prostrate oneself, to do obeisance, to do reverence. So when it says all the people worshiped, to put it short and sweet, all the people hit the ground. They got in the prayer posture. You see it all the time in the news. You see it all the time in world events. The religions of the Middle East and their posture when they pray. I believe Israel had a posture for prayer. Was it Daniel who prayed 3 times a day in the upper room with all the windows open, and he prayed how? He bowed towards Jerusalem. He bowed in the direction of Jerusalem. God's people, when they're really in the spirit of worship, will prostrate themselves, will do obeisance and reverence to God, the Lord, the great God. Then it goes on to say here, and they worship the Lord with their faces to the ground. Well, that's above us or below us. We wouldn't do anything like that. Jesus in Matthew chapter 26 prayed, bowed down with his face to the ground. We find reference to God's people face down in Numbers 20 verse 6 and Joshua chapter 5 verse 14. When God's word is exalted to the standing that it should be exalted to, we will have a revelation of God, for it's in God's word that we see God. God's word is Jesus Christ, the incarnate word, and many saw Christ. No man has seen God, and yet we can see him in his word. And there's something wrong if we're not seeing him in his word. No one has seen the glorified Christ, and yet we see him in the word, for he is the word. And there is plain descriptions of Christ given in the word. When God's word has its proper place before the people of God, the better revelation they have of God, and it will result in a better relationship with God, and it will climax in the worship of God. How important is the Word of God to you? The unadulterated, undramatized, non-entertaining, just the Word of God. How elevated a place does that have in your life? The people of Israel had gone a long time without seeing God, without knowing God, without having any place for God's word in their life. Now the temple has been rebuilt. The walls have been rebuilt. Worship is being reestablished in the land after these days of captivity. And the Word of God is given that proper place. And as it's given that proper place in their lives and before their attention, Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people said amen, and all the people lifted up their hands, and all the people bowed their heads, and all the people fell prostrate upon the ground, and all the people bent their faces towards the ground. And all of this can be accomplished by our inward posture at the mention of His word. Let that sink in. All of this that we're talking about, this better revelation of God, this better revelation of Jesus Christ, our seeing God as the great and awesome God that He is, God being praised and God being blessed, we can say amen to that, we can lift up our hands to that, we can bow our heads to that, we can fall prostrate upon the ground to that. We can put our faces towards the ground to that. We can do all of that with our inward posture. But it must be an inward posture at the mention of God's word. God's word, does it move you? God's word, is it holy? God's word, instead of lowering it to your standards and making it mean what you want it to mean, does God's word lift up a great and awesome mighty God? That at the sheer mention of God's word, inwardly, you're drawn to say, amen, it is so. Inwardly, you're drawn to want to raise your hands, holy hands, in praise to the Lord. You want to bow your head. You want to shrivel at the mention of His word. You want to prostrate yourself. You want to put your face in the ground at the sheer mention of His word. Does God's word mean anything to us anymore? Does it have an exalted place? God, help us to respect the word, to put it in its appropriate place. God, help us to worship the word, to say amen, to lift up our holy hands, to bow our heads, to worship, to put our face to the ground at the awesome word of God. Let's stand together.